Tony Duchesne here, and welcome to Drinks with Tony. The reason you come here is because you like books, right? You like authors, right? You like novels, right? You like writing, right?
Right.
Well, I got a novel writing workshop coming up on Monday nights in February. If you want to find out more about that, subscribe to my Substack. I haven't fully announced it yet. The Substack is Duchesne.substack.com, or just go to drinkswithtony.com. You'll find the link there. And now, on with the show.
Hi, I'm Jamie Parker Stickle, and you are listening to Drinks with Tony.
Get on the Drinks with Tony show. Yeah.
You're listening to Drinks with Tony. I'm your host, Tony Duchesne. Today on the show, we have Jamie Parker Stickle. She has a novel out called Vicious Cycle. Jamie, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay. I was just at the cafe and I was looking around at all the laptops, you know, at these cafes, and I just miss laptop culture. oh my God, that's a slip. I miss cafe culture where like people talk to each other and look around.
Okay.
I don't know.
Culture when? When
yeah,
was that?
So I guess maybe that's more like the 80s and 90s.
Okay. So when I was a baby, in elementary
school.
Oh,
so you don't know. Oh, you didn't.
The minute I went to cafes, it was laptop culture.
No way. Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
And I don't think I'm that young, so I don't know.
Yeah. Wow. That's interesting. I'm old. That's we've just discovered something. Wait, hold on. I've just discovered something. I need to go buy some Geritol.
Yeah.
Do you know what Geritol is? Is that that's a reference you get? Okay.
That's a reference I get. And I'll send you my AARP emails because I'm not ready for it. So.
Oh my God. It's like they know. Like they know the second I turned 50, they're just like, hi. And at the same time, like the doctor's going, you need a colonoscopy now. And like all these things like come together. And then all of a sudden you're just like, oh my God, I'm my grandparents. When did I become my grandparents? I still feel like a kid.
I was 43 going in for an endoscopy because I had a kid and it messes up your inside, whatever.
Yeah, I've heard such things. Yes.
Yeah. The doctor's like, you know what? You're not too far off. 45 is the new age that we give colonoscopies. And I was like, bitch, do not age me. Oh, I swore. You have to beep it. Do not age me in such ways that I would have to qualify for this other test. The answer is no. It's not happening.
Yeah.
No.
It's so exciting though. The prep for the colonoscopy is just it's like some people go mountain climbing and then at some point in your life you're just like, I prepped for a colonoscopy, and they're like, yeah, that beats mountain climbing.
So there's a new thing now apparently, and my husband had to have his this past year, and because
oh, is he over 45?
Yeah, it's 45 now. So he just had his, and he did the liquid, and we have a 10-year-old, and we live in a one-bathroom house.
Oh, my God.
And we pulled out the camping bucket.
Oh, wow. For him or for everyone else?
For everyone else.
Yeah, no, you got to give the man comfort for the colonoscopy. Give the man the castle, and everyone else just,
Yeah.
It's not pretty. That's why you're just like, you know what? Don't care. Don't care if I got cancer up there. Just don't put anything up there because I just don't want to clear it out.
Well, also they have a pill now so that you don't have to drink all that stuff. You can just ask for the pill.
Oh, that's so sweet of them. Can they do the other thing as easily?
I wish. They're getting there. There's a blood test coming. They said they're about 5 years out though.
So really?
Like, yeah.
Ooh.
5 years out.
Now, if you do the math, they just switched it to 45, but it used to be 50, like within the last couple of years, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So maybe if you wait till 50, you've got it, you're in the pocket for the blood test.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never been in a situation, I'm divorced, but I was never in a situation where my wife had to do a colonoscopy. So what is it like to be a spouse and your spouse has to do the clear out?
I mean, listen, we went through COVID together. This man got COVID so bad.
And okay,
I feel
there
like
you go.
The COVID was worse than the colonoscopy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was like he sweat through sheets.
Oh, yeah.
Every hour we were changing his sheets and his, I mean, the poor man couldn't keep anything inside. So
Yeah.
I think that was worse than the colonoscopy. I don't know. But that amazing show with Jean Smart that I can't think of the name for some reason right now, but they did a colonoscopy, round table where they all scheduled their colonoscopies for the same time, and so that they had
Yeah.
a poker night and they all stayed up in someone's mansion in Las Vegas and did, had six
Really?
bathrooms and
That's
colonoscopied together. And I was like, that's the way to
awesome.
throw down. I'm gonna do that. My
Yeah.
girlfriends and I'll get it at the same time, and we're just gonna throw down. We'll just rent
Yeah.
a hotel room.
Yeah.
I don't know. I
Yeah.
like that idea.
I think it's a great idea. And then do the ayahuasca retreat in the same way, like two
No.
years later.
No. Okay. Jamie doesn't do those kinds of drugs. Let me tell you something. Okay.
Yes.
No. I was an editor for an online rag for a while, and we got submitted an ayahuasca piece, an essay by a teacher, and she's a fantastic writer. And I was like, you are too uptight to do this. Why did you go do that? Why would you do that? It was a terrible experience. And you know what? I'm a type A. I have anxiety and panic disorder. I'm not doing
Yes.
that. I'm not doing that. No.
Oh, let's talk anxiety and panic disorder. And first, ayahuasca. I've never even done shrooms in my life. And
Me neither.
I can't smoke pot anymore.
I can't smoke. I smoked it once and had a complete panic attack.
Yeah.
No, the
No,
answer is no.
yeah. I can drink, which is, not, it's not great for your nervous system and certain things, but if it's keeping mellow and
It's a depressant. You're depressing those anxious, right? Right. I get it. I
yeah,
get it.
that's what I keep telling myself. But anxiety, I think panic and anxiety does sometimes correlate with creativity. I don't know if you've seen that. I see it amongst my I thought I was the only one that had like severe panic attacks until I started like admitting it to my writer friends like 15 years ago or so. And they're like, "Oh no, it's a thing, dude. Like we all got it." And I'm like, "I thought I was the only one." So.
Well, I mean, when you think about it, imagine the stories you're writing and imagine the stories you're telling yourself. They're far worse than anything we'd allow readers to read. But if we can be that creative and write books and screenplays and what have you about our
Right.
inner thoughts, obviously there's something wrong with us. We are planning for the end of the world and anxious about it, right? So
Yeah.
it makes sense that they go together.
Well, yeah, like it's almost like we're planning for death, in a way. He took it too dark. He took
Maybe
it
that
too
was an
dark.
inside thought. We're going to talk about,
It...
I've watched so many of your episodes that I wrote down
You
a couple
watched
key.
them?
Yeah, I have a couple key lines that I'm going to be using on you today. That's an inside thought, Tony. Tony Duchesne.
One of the last relationships I had until I was just like, you know what? I have a pattern here and I think I need to go to the therapy and change myself. But about 4 years ago, she used to say that too. She'd be like, Tony, that's an inside thought. She would be laughing.
It is. I watched your last one with Andrew Rubin.
Oh, he was fun. Oh, you watched the one where we just tore apart the females. You watched
Friend.
the Yes, tell me. Go ahead. I'll take my beating now, Jamie. Give it to me.
I was like, I don't know if he's misogynistic or not, but I'm gonna have to write some shit down because I'm gonna have to let him know. I'm gonna let him know that's an inside thought.
What we do have is a counterpoint here. So, see, how long have you been married?
Married for, we just figured this out last night because our son asked us. We've been together for 17 years, married for 13.
So you haven't experienced the dating experience that has happened in the past 15 years,
I
which,
have. I write about it,
okay.
but not personally.
Right. It's insane. Like everybody's insane.
This is what I hear.
Yeah, I know the boys are insane too. And it's just it's insanity. And it's just like even like these this I people are still getting dick pics. I'm like, what planet are you on that you think that's a great idea?
I
Even
mean,
if you're in a relationship for 5 years, you don't spring that on someone. You go, hey, would
no.
this be funny or not? Yeah,
Right.
it's pure juvenile lunacy. And I don't know what happened to the collective of men on this earth that thought that was a great idea.
Yeah, I don't know. It's unhinged. It's funny that the dating app all my students use is Hinge because I'm like, but your dates are unhinged. I don't understand.
Yeah.
We make it a time where they all, my students, what I teach is study in Los Angeles. So my students come in from New Jersey, New York, and they study a semester with me. And so they're all on Hinge. And I'm like, you have to come every class with a story of your last date. If you're going to date in LA, I want to know about it,
Oh,
first of
that's
all.
great.
It is almost uncomfortable. Like they also have this thing where they call it ethically non-monogamous.
Oh my God. Yes.
No. No. The answer to that is no.
No,
I am so old school.
amen, sister. I say I'm unethically monogamous. Just, I mean, just like, why are you putting, it's just like, I'm righteously the devil. What?
Yeah, what?
The pure stupidity of the word changes. It's just like, hey, I just want to bang as many people as possible. Can you just put that in there?
I cannot look at me. I'm like doing what my students do because I'm like, oh my God, I have to say something. It is so counterintuitive.
Yeah.
Like, if that's what you want, go to a bar and meet someone, go home.
Yes.
Why are you on an app for that? Like, you don't need
Yeah.
to be, just go out. Just
Yeah.
go out and grab someone. I don't
Yeah.
understand. I'm
I
confused.
did that for like, so I got divorced, and then I was, and it was, my story's a little different because I grew up a Jehovah's Witness, so I was a virgin when I got married
Oh.
at 25, and then I found out I was getting divorced. I loved how you did
I mean,
it was like the prayer hands. It's just like, oh
yeah.
God, okay, I didn't know.
I feel bad now.
Your misogyny is half. You got 50% off of your misogyny off of that. We're still holding you accountable for the other 50.
I mean, it makes more sense.
So I was a lunatic after I found out that, my ex-wife was, indulging in all these things that I had never indulged in before. So, but I was weird about it though, and I got into a bad relationship right away with a friend, and it's just like I was continuing the pattern. That's what I was doing, and I was just looking for comfort, and that would be a 3-hour, 4-hour episode of the problems I create and sabotage for myself.
Yeah.
But someone told me, she said, "Hey, look, Tony, you've never like reached into the animal of the man that you are. What you need to do is you need to go have meaningless sex." And this was like I had never, like that option was one never open. Two, ne I never thought in my life it would be open, and so I was like, okay, I'll try that. I did try it, and I'm terrible at it. I'm terrible at it because I don't know when to leave.
I've never tried it. I
Oh,
that's
you don't need to try it because I did it for about 18 months, maybe. I became friends with like half of the ladies, and it's just like.
Yes. I'm friends with all my exes except one who was like a total monster. I mean, I
Yeah.
get it. Like
Yeah.
we went on a date. We're like resources now for each other. Like, do you want to come talk to my class? We went on a date 20 years ago.
Yeah. It was so funny because I even forgot because then I had another relationship that turned into weird jealousy the minute I got a screenplay assignment, and then all of a sudden it was where's my attention? Where's my attention? And I'm like, this is coming too early in the relationship here. We're both writers. I thought you
She,
understood.
oh, okay. I was wondering if she was like not a writer and jealous of the attention you were giving to your screen baby
Well, no,
or
she
your book
was. She was
baby.
totally jealous of it. And I'm going, are you insane? You're a writer too. You know how this game works. So anyway, that ended. But why did I
Yeah.
bring that up? See, that trauma just like threw me off. I forgot what we were talking about.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking about,
Everything
oh.
I've done wrong.
Having sex just to have sex, like just the fun.
Oh, so she would tell me, she'd be like, because I lived in San Francisco at the time, and San Francisco is a very different sexual situation. So I would, she got, and she, one day she goes, did you have sex with her? And I'm all, who? Her. And I won't say the name. And I'll be like, oh, yeah. We'd been friends like for afterwards that it didn't even like connect. I totally forgot. And then she's like, "You better tell me when you like, because I don't want to find out as a surprise." And I'm just like going, I forgot. And it's not like I rammed through that many. My number wasn't that big. It was
Right.
just the friendship part was much bigger than the couple of one night stands that turned into oh, you're not that guy. You're the guy that wants to stay over and make breakfast for me in the morning because you got this weird husband vibe that's just out of control. So,
Interesting. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
my husband, the improv world, the improv communities tend to be that way. And my husband was very invested in the improv community. And so I'd be on set with someone. We did not meet there. We met on a set. But nonetheless, folks on the set, he had slept with like most of them. And I was like, why is that girl looking at me so weird? And he's like, I think we were friends with benefits after I got divorced. And I was like, bro. And it was like half the community. I was like, all of
Yeah.
them? He's a very good looking guy and he's very charming. So yeah, all of them. I was like, this is uncomfortable for me, but it should be uncomfortable for you. Anyway.
So now, I mean that was when you were first together. That,
Yeah.
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 So why, what, how did you get over that? Like, how did you get over that hump where it was no longer an issue?
I just don't care. I
I
like
love
everybody.
that.
I just don't care.
Yes. Oh, you know, that's like you should write the philo that your next book should be a book of philosophy. It's like Buddhist, Confucius, Jamie, meditations
Yeah.
from the Los Angeles area.
Right. From a Taurus who's a type A and has a Virgo moon, so she's very uptight. No. I'm actually pretty laid back for all that, but yeah, I just don't care, Tony. I just felt like I laid things all out on the line like immediately when I was
Yeah.
dating. I was like, "Hey, number one, if you're going to have sex with me at some point, I'm going to have a kid if it happens. Like, I'm not the person that's going to listen, I am pro-choice, and the choice
Right.
for me is it's gonna, so, and I don't know if I want to be with you that long in life.
Yeah.
So we're not gonna have it. And it was up to them to like call for a second date or not, you know? And my
Oh, you
husband,
brought that on the first date. That, you
oh,
know,
hell yeah.
that rocks. Okay, I keep it coming. You're giving me hope for all of womankind.
Listen. There is a time when Jamie just thought she was so smart and so pretty and so funny that she was like, listen, here's my list. One, no sex until we are committed, like 6 weeks in, and I know you're mine. The words weren't there yet, but ethnically non-monogamous does not work for me. If you're having sex with me and we're not boyfriend, girlfriend yet, we are not sleeping with other people. Period. Period. I'm not sharing the DNA. Like, I don't want it. No, thank you.
I agree. And it confuses people because I even had this happen like about 8 years ago. I get on and off the apps because I want to have hope for humanity. So I just go, you know what? I guess I'm alone and single for a while. But this one woman, I didn't even like kiss her till the third date, and then I did, and like finally made my move because she seemed like relationship material. Because
Yeah,
I'm not
good.
gonna make a move until I feel like there's actually a relationship. I
That's right.
don't want to drop sloppy stranger intimacy on somebody. I want to know that
No.
there's a thing. And
Yes.
then after that, she said, "Oh, I thought you were asexual," and I'm like, "What?" And I'm like, "And that's the end." Then cut. That's a wrap. We're out of here. I was just like, are you kidding me?
That's not fair.
The
That's not fair.
expectation that all men are supposed to be trying to get you in the sack within 2 seconds. I don't know if that's put on men or they feel like they have to or not in this like world because I get insulted if I'm going too slow.
You know, it's interesting because I just think you date in different pools than my female friends do, because one of my girlfriends, she's in her 50s and she's divorced, and she gets these immediately these men tell her, you know, I need to know how we are in the sack before we can continue to date. So it's like on the first phone call as they're setting up their first date.
Oh, see the that so that's That's very strange. But at the same time, how our bodies connect actually is a huge part of like keeping the relationship moving forward. You know, it's,
Sure, but on the first date, can't you have something in
oh
common first, like
God,
a
no, like
coffee?
I'm so
It's so
tired of this,
weird.
like we have to swipe and then ethically non-monogamize.
Well, I told my husband on date one or date two. I mean, I was very forward. There was a time. I know I'm still very forward with people, but I told him I want a complete, STD test. So if he wants to make out or anything, like not until I see that you aren't carrying something, because I'm not going to get emotionally invested, which I will the minute we make out with someone that I don't know I can go. And people will criticize me, but I was young. So what if he has an STD? Well, I don't want his STD. I'm young. Like, listen, I just don't. And
Right. Then it's
it's
just like
fair.
I'm oozing down there again. Thanks.
Yeah, I just.
Thanks, Barbara. Was it Barbara? I know it was Barbara. The way she looks at you, I can tell she's got an STD.
You know what? You have to take care of yourself. I tell my students all the time, like, prioritize your body, prioritize yourself. It's the only one you're going to get. Like, why would you just?
Wait, what are you teaching?
I teach our film and television study courses for undergrads, so juniors and seniors. I teach podcast production, pre-production and post, and creative writing and the history of Hollywood.
Oh, fun. Like you're just like, I'm like, yes, I love and do that. Yes, I love and do that. Yes, I love and do that. But the thing about writing and taking care of your body, those kind of go hand in hand. It's like if I'm in the middle of a project, like even if I'm just doing a rewrite and I know I got to do a rewrite in the morning, I won't even drink the day before. That people that I get like a little insane about it. They'll be like, "Oh, let's have a glass of wine." I'm like, "No, I got rewrite work to do tomorrow." So I'm cool, but get drunk. I'll drive you home, man.
Yeah, I've never been a drinker and a performer. Like when I did stand up, everybody'd be drinking before their set, and I was like, "Are you kidding me? No, I couldn't possibly perform if I was drunk or tipsy or whatever." So, yeah, I'm not a I don't drink much anyways. Maybe like 3 times a year at this point,
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
See this. Oh, so here's my dilemma. This show is called Drinks with Tony, but I
I
started
know.
it. I started it.
Wait, one, two, three.
Oh, wait, hold on. Water and a smoothie I didn't finish.
Okay, this is a collagen lemonade, a mint tea, and just water. Okay, let's do it.
Well,
We're
the
doing it.
problem was I started this in 2002. So back when I would like, in order to get over my panic, I would have to have like 3 shots of Jameson to even get out of the house. Like it was like really bad in those days. And I had to check myself into a hospital for my panic and stuff because I was just like,
It's
oh,
too much.
I can't live like this anymore. Like I can't live. Like it's done. I just here's my last out. Can I get some tools? If not, then there's the very disturbing part of the way some of us end it. And I'm very lucky that I got tools, and I'm very lucky that I did the exposure therapy. And it's just like I count my blessings every day. I walk and I go to like these certain places. I go, oh my God, the amount of self-talk I used to have to do just to do this. And I forgot to do the self-talk. How cool is that?
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
It's so much work.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I mean, it still is. And I think that's why writing, well, and I always have a journal with me. I was on the metro in Paris. I started to have like kind of I thought it was a severe panic attack coming on. Immediately, I just started breathing and I started writing. And my writing looked like an insane 3-year-old writing with the wrong dominant hand. But as I kept writing, it started to get better because I was writing through. I finally, like, when I found that it wasn't anxiety, it was loneliness. And the anxiety was just going, hey, remember me? I'm the comfortable one. And I'm like, and then the loneliness comes up and it's just like, that's the uncomfortable one, but I got to sit in this because that's the truth. And then anxiety walks away and goes, oh, dang it. I was right there. I was about to get you. Oh, I'll sing your stupid sadness and grieve over it.
Yeah. It's rough. It's a rough sort of life road if you have it, for sure. I mean, I take medication. I talk about it
I do
in
too.
Vicious Cycle. That is like part of the premise or one of the themes of the book, is she has postpartum panic disorder, which is hormonally triggered if you have predisposition to anxiety. But it can happen to anyone. So yeah, I mean, it's crazy for sure.
Don't tell Tom Cruise.
I
Oh,
mean,
you didn't get the reference.
I do
I'm
get the
that I'm
reference.
is it because of the Brooke Shields thing?
Yes, because Brooke
Okay, okay.
Shields is a huge idol of mine. I've met her, and I get asked a lot what book I there's a movement where women read two books together. One's nonfiction and one's fiction, and you can put both of them together. You could do two fiction stories with similar themes, but I always recommend pairing Brooke Shields' memoir about her journey with postpartum panic disorder with my book.
Oh,
So,
cool. Oh, that's cool.
yeah. So,
For you listeners out there.
yeah. So, no, I mean, I think somebody needs to check him for anxiety and panic disorder, but I'm a huge Tom Cruise fan as an actor and his movies.
Isn't
And
he? Yeah,
I don't want to
he's
do anything else with him.
fabulous. He is the reason why great film still happens. Who knew? Who knew that that's where we would be right now, saying that out loud.
Yeah.
But we're saying it out loud. You got to give respect to the guy that's out there doing it.
Yeah.
So.
You know what? We don't even know what he takes when he's at home. So,
Yeah.
you know what
Oh,
I'm
no,
saying?
they have like Tom Cruise has his own suppositories. So
Yeah.
what it's just, you know. And when he jumped on Oprah's couch, one slipped out.
Ah, that's good.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
It's yeah, this is, you know, the eternal sunshine of a panicked mind.
Oh my gosh. I hate that movie.
Do
Anyways,
you why do you hate that movie?
I think it's depressing as heck. And see, I'm
Really?
trying not to swear now. It's so depressing. It's one of my husband's favorites, and all the boys I have in class every semester are always like, one of my favorite movies is Spot of the Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. And all the girls are like, ew. And I'm like, let's talk about it.
Really?
Let's
Oh.
talk about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And why do you think men come to the Eternal Sunshine more than women?
I don't know. I got my MFA in creative writing, but I was going to go get it in psychology, but I didn't.
Well, they're
So
both close.
they're so close. And it's just the one thing I haven't really investigated, but I think it allows men to be vulnerable with their emotions. Like for my husband, I'm wife number two. He got married at 21 and then they got divorced by the time they were 24.
I hear divorced
So
fellas are great.
they are. So have faith. But I think, the what's his name makes himself the character is so vulnerable in it, and it's a place that I think Gen Xers in general have not been taught, or Xennials haven't been taught as males to be vulnerable in relationships or otherwise. And but for women, we're just like, this is sad. I mean, that's just my take on it, and my students, they just find it very sad.
It is, but it is sad. It's really sad because they're taking away when here's here I haven't seen it in such a long time. But when we go through a rough relationship and we work things out, or we don't, there's a point where it's just like, I mean, huge things come up, and then it's just like, what do we do? Because we're in high stakes here. Do we work it out, or do we, or is it's I feel like, and
Yeah.
correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like when you wake up in the morning, when you wake up in the morning in a relationship, or if you're married, you choose again that day to be married or in that relationship. It's almost like, oh, I'm choosing this again, and how lucky am I? And then when that kind of breaks, it's okay to break because we're humans and we're going to break it. But then how do we pick up the pieces? And these people don't even want to pick up the pieces because they are getting their minds erased. And the beauty of a long-term relationship is putting the pieces back together after a break and going, we still love each other. We know each other a little bit too more intimately because we both totally screwed up, or you screwed up, or I did this. But that's the bond. I feel like that's the bond that brings relationships tighter and tighter and tighter. And I didn't get anything in psychology. I don't know what your thoughts, because I could be completely wrong and misogynistic, and I've been known to be.
I think it's great what you said. I don't know. It's been a minute since I've seen it as well.
Yeah.
I let the students talk. I don't generally rewatch that film just to have a discussion. But that sounds valid. I don't know. I can't say. I wake up every morning and just maybe it's because I'm a mom for 10 and a half years, almost 11 years now,
Yeah.
that is not. It's a decade and a half past for me, and I'm with the same person.
Yeah.
So I wake up and think, is my kid going to get up on time for school this morning? What's he going to ask me to do?
Yeah.
I'm in such a different mindset at this point, right?
And it's a good mindset, because I feel like when you have kids, then the kids are kind of the center, but it pulls people together even more. And I adore my friends who got married and stuck it out and had kids, and their kids are like, you see them doing well. And I'm just sitting there going, and I kind of wish I had that life where I kind of wish I lucked out. And I'm like, oh, good on you. But I'm just so happy for them. And I'm like, one of my friend's daughters, she just went to school in Paris and she wants to be a writer. And I'm like, anytime Uncle Tony's around, if she needs anything, Uncle Tony's around. So,
That's so sweet.
yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I think everybody needs the friend that doesn't have kids because they tend to lend themselves as an additional parent. It's always so nice.
Yeah, I think there's, because there I think there's a need, even though people pretend like they don't have the need. I think there is always a need to take care, to be nurturing, to have kids, even if they're dudes or ladies. There's all I feel like that's such an innate, natural thing that we've had for thousands and thousands of years. It's kind of sad that people are like, oh, I'm when people say, oh, I don't want kids, and I don't want kids because I got to get my career going, and I'm like, as a typist. Really?
Funny, right?
You're dropping that for that?
Yeah, it's an interesting, if I could tell anything to people hitting 30, it would be don't put off having that family if
Yeah.
you want it, because success can come after, and sometimes it only comes after because you push harder once you have a family, one to
Yeah.
take care of them, but also because time is precious and limited, and you just work a little bit more
Yeah.
towards that. So,
Yeah, it's a happy problem until you're paying for their rehab that when they're, 20 or 30. Not that it'll happen to you.
okay, that's an inside thought, Tony.
Thank you. Thank you, Jimmy. You see, this is one, the problem, and I think two, kind of the format of this show is I have like no filter, and then that's why, and then maybe you're helping me grow here, because this is why I don't listen to any of the shows. So people go, oh, it was really funny when, and I'm like, what are you talking about? Because it just goes, this airs like fast. So I just
Yeah.
cut from the front and the back. I don't want to listen to it because I'll stop doing the show and I'll stop being dumb. And then I'll be so worried about being dumb that then I'll talk a different way.
Okay. Well.
Or I'm just saying that to keep doing what I'm doing because I like it anyway.
Yeah, if you like the format and the way you do it, you can make any excuse you want just to keep it the way it is. It's fine.
I love people from the Midwest, especially the very open, because you're from Detroit, right? Yeah, they call that the Midwest, right?
Yeah, sometimes we call it the Mideast, but we get in trouble. People are like, we don't like that. And I'm like, we're not really West. We're
Yeah.
like Canada, New York. What are you talking
Yeah.
about?
And
But
look at my
whatever.
hijab.
Yeah. God bless.
Yeah.
Allah. God bless Allah.
Now we're gonna get Hedbo, Charlie Hedbo, is that the place that got blew up in France in like
Recently?
11, no, 11 or 12 years ago when they made
Oh,
fun of
right. I take it back. I am not in La Crescenta. I'm actually in Santa Monica.
None of that aired. Now it's aired. You gotta listen, you gotta remember when what we talked about. Now this is that was your inside thought. See, that was the pre-starting the show thought.
It's just California. It's just California.
Exactly. We're somewhere in this huge state of massive brown.
I'm not going to lie. You know, when you write a book, people are like, where are you? You know, put you're in Los Angeles. It's all over everything. It's not like I'm hiding. And you know, as a podcaster and having a podcast production company myself, you know, where I do my podcast isn't necessarily where I live. I'm in an office in a studio. But the thing at the end of the day is there is no privacy anymore for anyone. If you're online, you're online and people are going to find you.
And
So.
there's, it's who cares about a dude like me when I, I'm just like, who wants to find me? And I'm like, oh wait, there's a couple of people. I did kind of go through a bad divorce and I did kind of write a book about a certain religion that I grew up in, but yeah, there's possibly a
Okay.
no,
Interesting.
yeah, it's not. When did you start doing did you start improv or stand up first?
I started writing sketch first. Oh no, I started Groundlings Improv. And then
In LA
I in
or
LA.
okay.
In LA. And then in LA, I graduated from the Second City. In sketch writing, and I was in an all-female sketch group called Boom Chick Boom. We were around for a while. There was a pilot, so that was, you know, sketch. And then at UCB, I started in writing, and then went to improv. I'm not a huge fan of improv. I mean, I think it's great, and I think everyone should study it. But I'm not one of those folks that was like, let me get on stage and play. I was like, this is what they expect of you as a writer and as a performer. So I just have to take the classes and push through and do it because I'm supposed to.
Well, I feel like I the first improv class I took was at Bay Area Theater Sports in San Francisco in the 90s. And I took it because I thought I was going to be a director. But I was like starting to dabble in writing at the time. And that's when I realized, oh wait, improv is really good if you want to be a writer. Like learning the exercises in improv and learning how to like kind of lose the self-censor. Like, but also say things where you're like, and that's an inside thought, Tony.
It's no, a
But
1,000%. Yeah,
it's,
same.
yeah, it's, and I've tried to keep up with it over the years and in LA, and it was kind of good until like everyone is like pre-pandemic, and then I took clowning. Have you ever taken clowning classes?
Tony,
Tell
that's an
me what you
inside
what.
thought.
Tell me what you really feel.
I feel like I have a an aunt-in-law, my husband's aunt. She was a real clown. She went to clown school. And I always think of Fizbo and Modern Family.
Oh, I haven't
Again,
watched that.
oh my God.
I hear great things about it. Everyone, it's gonna be my next like three flights across the ocean. I'll watch the whole series.
It's so good. We're watching it right now with our 10-year-old. He's obsessed. I don't know. I didn't take those things for performing.
Right. No, I never took them for performing.
And I feel like clown school is literally for performance.
The I took it from the clown school. This guy David, I forget his last name. It was specifically recommended to me, and it's like you don't do any clown stuff. It's almost like improv with intense therapy and almost joining a cult. And there was everyone was actors there. There was one producer there, and she was like out after week two, because there's an exercise we did after it was a 4-hour workshop. At the on the last hour, the 20 of us sat in a semicircle. One got in the middle, and you had to say, "I feel," and you had to look everyone in the eye, and everyone had to look you in the eye, and you had to say exactly how you feel, the truth. And if you didn't do the truth, the teacher would yell at you. We had to sign an NDA at the or a agreement at the beginning not to sue them for insulting us and for all this stuff. And I'm sitting there going, "Oh, thank God." Because these improv classes I take now, everyone's insulted by every little thing. And I'm like, "I'm out, you guys. Go have fun with your little pet peeves in life. I'm gonna go write and you'll
Yeah.
be offended by my book. So go buy the book and be offended, please." So
There's someone's offended about my book. There was a review. Another author wrote me and was like, they're offended because you talk about breastfeeding. And literally their comment was, I don't care for breastfeeding. And I was like, okay.
how dumb are people? Well, one, the person's a reader, so I feel sad saying they're dumb, but how dumb are they to do a review like that?
I know, that
And
was their whole review.
that was their whole review. I've gotten weird ones. One was taken down, and then I wonder for my first novel, and I wonder if it was actually a family member, because it just said, "Tony Duchesne's mind is sick, and this is just a sick imagine." And just like, I wish I screen captured it. I think I did, and it was a one star, and it was my favorite review. And I even posted it back when people were actually on Facebook, and everyone's just like, "Oh my God, I'm gonna reply to that person." I'm like, no, don't. It's a fantastic review. You have no idea how excited I am about that review.
That's funny.
Yeah, Tony's dark and sick and twisted imagination. So I was
Yeah.
like,
I mean,
yes, thank you. One star. That's what I want. Passion.
was it fiction or was it nonfiction?
It was a kind of auto fiction.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, I grew up a Jehovah's Witness,
Yeah.
and the book's called Confessions of a Teenage Jesus Jerk. And
Oh, right. Yeah.
it's a lot based on me, and then there's enough fiction in it for not to be based on me. So
Yeah.
like, he's much cooler than I am in the
Okay.
book. Yeah.
I like that. Do you give him the name Duchesne? Did you grow up with the
No.
nickname Douche?
Oh my God, I did. I was
Okay.
just telling a friend. No. These girls in school, there was these like three girls. What class was it? I think it was like a math class, and they would all cheat off of me too. And I was this scared little Jehovah's Witness kid, right? And but at the same time, when I'm in school, I'm just like going, please don't like have any birthday parties, or I'll have to go to the library. It's just it's intense and stupid, and it may as well create nervous breakdowns in everybody. It's just like, you're gonna have a nervous breakdown here anyway. But these three girls that I was just totally intimidated by for some odd reason, I sat next to all three of them. They would all cheat. They would like grab my math paper, and then they would all just copy my answers because I was a little math quiz whiz dude. But they called me Tony Douchebag.
Yeah, I hear it. I hear it. I
Yeah,
hear
and it's just fantastic, because isn't it great? There was a time when people would like, you got the weirdest names from those eras, and it's I don't even think it bothered me. I think I was so happy they were just showing me attention. I was
Sure.
yeah.
I'm gonna cough, so I'm just
Yes.
gonna hang.
So Jamie's coughing right now. That's an inside thought.
Just
This
gonna.
is gonna be like the rest of my week. I'm gonna walk around the streets of Los Angeles parking lots and go, "Tony, I think that's an inside thought."
Rest of this week, you're gonna be like, damn it, that's the first episode. She made me watch it back. I
Yeah.
finally watched an entire
No,
episode.
don't make me. Don't make me.
You're gonna have to. I'm gonna check in and be like, did you watch that episode back? What'd you think of yourself? See,
Oh, we can go dark there fast.
we edit all of our podcasts, so we have to listen to them a million times. So
That's the thing. Here's what I need to do is I need to learn how to monetize the podcast enough in order to put more time into it, and then I would probably edit it. But since I'm not good on that business side, I just have to go as fast as possible or I would never do it. So that's kind
Yeah.
of, yeah. Anyway, but that's my problem and that's my thing that I need to structure in my life. I
You
don't
could
need
always
to.
get an intern to do the editing for you. And then
Or
they get
that.
college credit.
Really?
Yeah. If you give them
Huh.
10 hours a week and you apply to the university for an intern,
Yeah.
you don't have to pay them. You give
Yeah.
them 10 hours a week of experience. Or if they want 6 credits, you give them 20 hours a week. I'm
Great.
just saying.
Okay,
Don't
it's
you teach extension classes at UCLA? You should be.
yeah, but I you know, it's I'm in there on a fluke. Like they didn't realize that I like barely graduated high. Well, no, they did know. You can have like a certain amount of instructors that don't have a degree, and I happen to be that one small percent that they allowed. And so I've been and I'm gonna write an article about especially like the first book, the things I didn't know about the first book and how you can just get like a National Endowment of the Arts grant for having a book out. And it's just like your first one and it has to be out. You have to apply within a certain amount of time. And I'm just sitting there going, why didn't I ever know this? And I was like, oh, I never went to college. Like this was never, my friends were just like, you know, what show do you want to go to tonight? And are we buying the Pabst big can or are we going to get just the 12 pack? That was kind of.
Pabst.
I
The good stuff.
used to do a little stand-up comedy too. I took a stand-up comedy class and then on the final show, I started getting booked for other showcases. This is in San Francisco over 20 years ago. And I started to do a little well. I was also in a marriage that was crumbling, so she wouldn't even show up to my stand up.
Great. You have all this material that you can't offend her with because she's not coming.
I
What?
No, you know, what was interesting is I had this because I was kind of going writer or comedy, and as I was honing my act, I was getting like higher and higher bookings. And I was really doing well with I loved the craft. I adore the craft of comedy. The getting the psychology of the room, losing the room and trying to get him back, and those nights when you don't get him back, and there's always one person going, dude, that was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. You're just like, eh, well, I lost the whale. But there was a point where I was just like, you know what? I don't care about this is a me problem too. This is an outside thought. I don't care about people who go to comedy clubs. Like I'm not the guy that goes to a comedy club so other people can make me laugh because I know how to make me laugh. So I was having disdain for these people on dates who are all giggling and going to go home and have sex because of the great platter of comedy that I was giving them. And I was going to go home and go, oh, I'm going to sleep on the couch because I don't know what's wrong, but there's something weird and the energy's off. And, you know, there was a point where like the last 2 years of our marriage, I couldn't sleep in the same bed with her. So I would just work all night. It turns out, oh, wait, my body knew.
It sounds like you have a dark comedy brewing from that experience.
I don't know if it's a dark comedy. I was just reading this guy. Oh, I don't have the book here. This Spanish writer that what's his name? Manuel Villa. And have you heard of him?
I mean,
Yeah.
I try to make a point to know all of our Latino, Latina, Spanish, Hispanic authors. I think it's like imperative that we do right now, and what they're writing is
It's so good.
so good and just gets buried,
Yeah.
culturally buried in this country, or not culturally, what's the word?
Well, and not translated. It doesn't get translated into English. Like I looked this guy up. He's got like nine of the books out. I've been taking Spanish lessons for about 2 years and I'm like, and I just ordered his
Three
this book
years.
that I'm reading. Oh, really?
Three
All right.
years.
So we both can screw up.
I make all my Spanish-speaking friends only text me in Spanish.
Oh, that is good.
Because I'm like, don't talk to me in English anymore.
Yeah.
Only talk to me in Spanish.
Hablamos pronto.
We speak soon.
I don't know. That's where I'm at.
We
But
speak soon.
I just ordered his book that I'm reading now from the library. I'm like, oh my God, it's so good. It's like a study of a guy that's gotten divorced and lost his parents in death, and he's going, and I'm reading it, and it's poetic. It's amazing. It's the only book that he has out in English. And I ordered the Spanish copy and the English copy, and I'm gonna sit there and like study them to
You're
my
gonna read them side by side. Look at you.
yeah
Here I'm all
and
like, women are doing this thing where we read two books at once. That and look at you. You're doing it.
I
You
read
should
that.
brag about that on your dating profile.
Yeah, I just
You know, I don't know if it's in here in my office or it's at home, but one of my favorite authors is Matt Mendez, and
This sounds familiar.
he has two books out right now. They're so
Matt Mendez, I
good.
know that. What
Matt
is it?
Mendez.
Yeah.
Hang on. You're asking. Oh.
Well, no, yeah, it's, we you don't have to know the answer.
No.
Jamie, can you find that for us?
Yes, because he's.
You understood the Rogan, Jay Rogan reference, right?
Yes.
Okay. Because I get
Barely.
insecure if you don't understand my references. Go
I teach podcasting. I get
ahead.
it.
Okay.
I teach Joe Rogan.
Mmm.
Barely Missing Everything is my favorite Matt Mendez
Okay.
book. And then the second book came out, which is The Broke Heart. Anyways.
That's like those titles right that those titles right there are just right up my alley. By the
Just
way,
rip you apart. It'll rip you apart. And you'll be like,
yes.
oh, yeah.
I want to weep. I want to curse God, scream at the sky, and wish that I could be that writer.
Yes.
And then if I'm half the writer, then I've done what I can do. As a podcast teacher, please tell me what I've done wrong.
As a podcast teacher, I'm paying attention to what kind of guest I've been. I've sworn three times now.
Yeah,
I'm
thanks for that, by the way.
part of
And
me was like,
no. You've only done it once because the other is for the FCC. The other ones were in context of allowable. No, you have no idea all this stuff that's going on in my mind. I'm like thinking the programming and everything right now, and exactly where you said that because that's gets the beats, the beeps.
Friend, I think you do an exceptional job, but I would tell you in the future, edit. If
Edit.
you
Okay.
edit, your listeners and your money will go up
Okay.
because nobody has the attention span for an hour-long show. Listen.
Yeah.
They just don't unless they're trying to solve a crime and then they're binging your whole 12 episodes. You know what I'm saying?
And here's the other thing is the clips. I think it's all about editing clips. And I like we would have like probably 6 to 7 great clips right now where they would just be like, and it's maybe I just gotta
Get an
put some
intern.
time.
We could talk
Okay.
after the show.
Okay.
I can help you with that.
Okay. Well, you know what? With that, Tony's going to get help. Her book is called Vicious Cycle. The author is Jamie Parker Stickle. Jamie, thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Tony. It was so good.
Oh my God, that was so much fun. Thank you for staying tuned and listening to KPCR and Pirate Cat Radio. I am urging you to donate some money because I am a fan of Pirate Cat Radio. I've been involved with Pirate Cat Radio for over 20 years. Some of you aren't even that old. Some of your parents were in the back seat of a car making you. And I've been around that long as a fan and also working with the station. Go to kpcr.org/donate. And help us keep this community alive, this community of us lunatics broadcasting to you lunatics. And you can join this like weirdo club that we are. We don't do this for the cash. There is no cash. We volunteer. We just want to keep our studio running. So go to kpcr.org/donate and you can join the Signal Society, and it gets you discounts, it gets you free tickets to concerts. It's what we're in this game for. I gotta tell you, back when I was younger and living in the San Francisco area, I was on those lists, I was on those concert lists, and It was a joy. It was a joy to go see like Red Cross on the list. One time I was on Nick Cave and I went to see Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. I wasn't on any radio list. I was on the Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds list. I gotta tell you, that was the 2013 tour at the Civic Center, and the best part of that show is walking in and going, "Oh, I'm on the Bad Seeds list." That wasn't the greatest show. That was a but that's not a great room either. But here am I dirting on venues in San Francisco. By the way, I don't think we here at Pirate Cat Radio give away anything to Civic Center. And if we do, then we've probably lost that. But let me bring you back because it's about donating to kpcr.org and joining us, joining this community, because radio means everything to me. Radio, when I was a kid, that transistor radio was freedom. I grew up in a really strict family and a strict environment, and having a radio and being able to listen to Left of the Dial, which was stations like this and stations like KFJC and other wonderful college radio stations in the Bay Area, changed my life, man. Changed my life. And hopefully some of you are listening now and are going, "Wait, maybe I should like take some classes over at Pirate Cat Radio and see what's going on." And you know what? There are workshops for teenagers. That's part of what Pirate Cat Radio does. So if you're a teenager and you want to come in and take classes, take classes. Come in and start your own radio show. How crazy is that? All you got to do is learn a little bit. You learn how to push some buttons and go do this, do that, do this. And then you talk on a microphone. And then that's it. You got a show. How fantastic is that? And that's the community we're building here. Pirate Cat Radio. Go to kpcr.org/join. I was trying to think of I just finished my interview for this week, the one you just listened to. It was so much fun, and to get to talk, to get to just be silly, to be silly and playful, and with authors, with people who are real. And working on a novel is one of it's a hard to get a novel to a publisher, to actually get a novel that's like put out is monumentally hard. You know what else is hard? Losing 50 pounds. I mean, anything that's worth something is hard. So I encourage you to do things that are hard, and it's not too hard to donate. So you can just throw some money our way, and that's like then you're in the club with the weirdos. And if you really want to be in the club, you can volunteer. You can do stuff at the studio, and learn. And that sometimes that's how people get shows. I remember when we were at Pirate Cat Radio about 20 years ago. There was this one young lady. She was about 14 years old, and she said that she came in and wanted a show. And she came in with her mom, and they were like, "What brought you here?" And she said, "I listened to Drinks with Tony." And I was like, "And that's how you come on the. You walk in proud, and you go, you know what? I heard from Drinks with Tony. I listened to that show, and that's why I'm here." And I gotta tell you, that gives me goosebumps right now, remembering that moment. She had such a wonderful show. Her name was DJ Palindrome, and her mom would come with her, and she would fight with her mom on the air. It was like the most amazing thing ever. It was like a reality show with a 14-year-old young girl and her mom, and her mom was in her 30s, I think, and mom was like really like had a great taste in music, and so did the daughter, was similar, and she would just be like, "Mom, stop telling me that was Killing Joke. I know what band it was." It was fantastic. You only get that through community radio stations like this. We want to keep community alive. So thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to my show. Thank you for listening to Pirate Cat Radio. Donate kpcr.org/donate. You've been listening to Drinks with Tony. I will see you next week.